Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text 39. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maitreya Uvacha. Ityudaritam Akarnya. Bhagavan Naradastada Pitapatyaha Tambalam Sadhakyam Anukampaya. The sage Maitreya continued, the great personality Narada Muni, upon hearing the words of Dhruva Maharaj, became very compassionate toward him. And in order to show him his causeless mercy, he gave him the following expert advice. Since the great sage Narada is the foremost spiritual master, naturally his only activity is to bestow the greatest benefit on whomever he meets. Dhruva Maharaj was a child, and so his demand was also that of a playful child. Still, the great sage became compassionate towards him, and for his welfare, he spoke the following verses. Om Jnana Timanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksur Mulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayebhacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gridadhar Sivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Stuyvesant Falls, where I have my place, my quiet place where I can get my chanting and studying done most effectively. So, let's see, we're here in the story of Dhruva Maharaj. And he becomes insulted, which hits him very hard because he is a Kshatriya and he's trained in that way. And there's a certain nature of pride and training of pride almost within certain confines or parameters that is needed. So it hits him in a very, very strong way. And on his mother's advice, he goes to the forest to seek God to fulfill his desire, have a kingdom greater than his grandfather. Actually, greater than his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. And it becomes who he is. This desire becomes who he is. He's young. He can't transcend it. Anyway, he leaves to the forest, and somehow Narada Muni is Trikala Gya. He knows past, present, and future. Prabhupada and other purports talks about the transcendental system. We're all connected because the same God is in our heart. So something known in one heart can be known in another heart by the mercy of God and the qualification of the person. A person like Narada Muni can know people's hearts. He's kind of connected. There's a synchronicity. That's hard to figure out sometimes with a great spiritual acharya, how he knows the minds of other people. But God is telling him, because God is in the heart. So Narada tries to preach to him and gives him very, very good advice in one sense. And Dhruva is appreciative, but he tells him, your advice is great, but I can't follow it. Give me something I can do. So sometimes one cannot follow the ideal, but he's not disqualified from devotional service. As long as that idea, as long as his desires are within the parameter anyway, I'm not sure that statement will make sense, but anyway, he can't follow it, and he asked him to be compassionate to him and to give some he can do. Give me something I can do, an honest path to follow which I can achieve my goal. And here, anukampaya, compassionate, satvakyam. Compassion, giving advice. The teacher's love is his advice. The teacher's love is his instructions. The parent's love is their instructions. So Narada Muni heard, and the spiritual master tries to find the ways and means to engage the disciple in devotional service. The objective is the meditation, not the particular way of doing it. So the objective is that the mind should be fixed. And as people are in different modes and different cultures, then different things may be recommended. Just like when Prabhupada came to the West, the ideal culture of the relationship between boy and girl was just not in the culture or DNA of the people he was speaking to. Therefore, he didn't reject them. He figured out what, out of his compassion, he figured out what they can do to be engaged in devotional service. He didn't focus on some traditional code. Of course, he set parameters, but he didn't set the traditional parameters, because out of compassion, to keep people engaged in devotional service, he gave them something they can do. He didn't tell Jadurati, go home and live with your parents because it's Vedic. He said, no, the girls can also come to the ashram. The girls can also leave home. Because there's no other way in this culture that such people can become Krishna conscious. If we didn't give them a little bit within parameters, to some extent, the social equality that men have with men, that they can also, of course, Prabhupada within that context also made distinctions. Firmly rooted, branching out. That takes a lot of realization and it takes a lot of compassion. And we can't forget this aspect of Prabhupada's teaching even today. Especially today. And it takes a lot of realization to extend yourself to people and create an environment that is suitable for people without forgetting what the ideals are that you want people to move to. And the ideal is prema. The ideal is love of Godhead. And sub-ideals may be certain cultural principles which will be more healthy for society, intelligently applied. So this is the compassion, to engage someone from where they are at so they can move forward. And in the modern world, we'll increasingly face, as spiritual teachers, these kinds of decisions that will take a deep understanding of the tradition and a deep compassion to apply the tradition. So, and it's nice to see. We can learn so much about Krishna consciousness. So this is how we learn from the Bhagavatam. So now, Narada speaks. Narada uvacha, jananya bhita panta savai nishayasthasyate bhagavan vasudevastam vajatam bhavanatmana. The great sage Narada told Dhruva Maharaj, the instruction given by your mother Suniti to follow the path of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is just suitable for you. You should therefore completely absorb yourself in devotional service of the Lord. So, he was seeking God. Tell me something I can do. I have this desire. I can't go home. He said, your mother gave the right advice. Take shelter of God. When you want something beyond, this is one of the themes here. If you want something beyond your own capabilities and it's a strong desire, just worship Krishna and take shelter of Krishna. And I, from the story, I analyze one of three things will happen. The impossible can be attained, or from worshiping Krishna, you'll get a higher taste than the thing that you're seeking that's material, or the material thing will be given in such a way that you realize that it's not the proper objective or goal. So he said, okay, don't go home. That's the proper thing for a young child. You want to go in the forest. Don't try to transcend your desire by the process of Dhyan. I'm preaching you to intellectually, you're a young child, you're not understanding it. That this is actually playful and foolish to think of this way. Okay, you want something you can do? Well, your mother said, go to the forest and worship God. That's the best thing you can do now, even for your material desire. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi kivrena bhakti yogena yajita purushampra. Whether you have all desires, akama, no desires, sarva karma, Sarvakama, all desires, moksha, desire liberation, the Tirena Bhakti Yoga, this forcefully worship God. Purport. Dhruva Maharaj's demand was to achieve an abode even greater than Lord Brahma's. Within this universe, Lord Brahma is supposed to be in the most exalted position, for he is the chief of all demigods. But Dhruva Maharaj wanted a realm beyond this, beyond his. Therefore, his desire was not to be fulfilled by worshiping any demigod. There was nothing he could do in any other path to get this. There's no thing, you worship this and you will get the great, you know, you'll become the greatest power in the universe. As described in the Bhagavad Gita, the benedictions offered by the demigods are temporary. Therefore, Narada asked Dhruva Maharaj to follow the path recommended by his mother, to worship Krishna Vasudeva. When Krishna offers anything, it is beyond the expectation of the devotee. So you can get most mercy. It's the path of grace. Grace means that you get beyond what you expect, beyond what you deserve. So worship God. Take shelter of God. It's the best way. I've been observing this. I don't know. I've been observing this. Women need to be married, generally, most always, and most want to. And then when they come to Krishna consciousness, that narrows the field, because now you need a qualified man who's a devotee. And it always seems like an impossible task. And I've seen preaching in New York that, you know, somehow or other, this is the desire, but somehow or other, those who sincerely serve, Krishna will take care. If someone comes to me and says, there's no qualified husband for me, what should I do? I'll say, just absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness. It's really the best thing. This impossible task of finding a qualified man, Krishna can send. He can offer beyond your expectation. I'm looking at the bhakti center. So with these ladies that become serious one after another, somehow they find qualified husbands, even if it decimates the brahmacharya ashram. Prabhupada always said that. You know, I'm telling all my men they should remain brahmacharis and all my ladies to get married. You know, how will Krishna, you know, resolve this? Well, he has resolved it. And somehow or other, the men, unless they have the legitimately sincerest, highest qualification of renunciation, they have to take this responsibility. Both Sunita and Narada Muni knew the demand of Dhruva Maharaj was impossible for any demigod to fulfill, and therefore both of them recommended the process of devotional service to Lord Krishna. Narada Muni is referred to here as Bhagavan because he can bless any person just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead can. He was very pleased with Dhruva Maharaj, and he could have once personally given him whatever he wanted. But that is not the duty of the spiritual master. His duty is to engage the disciple in proper devotional service as prescribed in Shastra. Krishna was similarly present before Arjuna, and even though he could have given him all facilities for his victory over the opposing party without a fight, he did not do so. Instead, he asked Arjuna to fight. In the same way, Narada asked Dhruva Maharaj to undergo the devotional discipline in order to achieve the desired results. And this is, okay. So now what I think it's a very interesting section of the Bhagavatam. What Narada Muni is going to do now, he's going to explain to him how to do it and where to go to achieve this. And we'll get a summary. I hope we can all follow me for the next few weeks on this. We can get a summary of what is the process of practicing Krishna consciousness. Dharmatmakama mokshayam ya itcheshaya atmana ekam yeva harestatra karanam parasevanam. Any person who desires the fruits of the four principles, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and at the end liberation, should engage himself in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The worship of his lotus feet yields the fulfillment of all these desires. So you're covered, whether you want moksha, sarva karma. He wanted sarva karma. He wanted all his desires fulfilled. So his first instruction is, take the devotional service, and then he's going to describe how and where to do that. We should just, the best thing for us is to just take full shelter of Krishna and the holy name. It's the only solution. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this temporary material world is full of suffering. Take shelter of the holy name as your only business. It's the only way. There's no control. We can't control the world. We can't enjoy the world. We see that in every step, how it's moving against our desires, just waiting for the next thing to go against one of our desires. The world is not going to move in the future according to our desires. because we don't control it. To the extent that we're detached, we're going to go through one crisis after another. And therefore, this temporary material world is full of suffering. Take shelter of the holy name of Krishna as your only business. In Bhagavad Gita, purport is said that only with the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can the demigods offer benediction. Therefore, whenever any sacrifice is offered to a demigod, the Supreme Lord in the form of Narayana Shila or Shalagram Shila is put forth to observe the sacrifice. Actually, the demigods cannot give any benediction without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. Narada therefore advised that even for religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation, one should approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, offer prayers, and ask for the fulfillment of one's desire at the lotus feet of the Lord. That is real intelligence. An intelligent person never goes to the demigods to pray for anything. He goes directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all benediction. So it looks like there's three levels of intelligence. One, not so intelligent. You approach the demigods for your desires. More intelligent, more intelligent is approach God, if the demigods are there. And most intelligent is to ask for pure devotional service. Like people go around Govardhan to get the fulfillment of their desires. But the intelligent person just wants bhakti. Because ultimately we want happiness and other things will not give it. Bhakti can actually get happiness within the heart. As Lord Sri Krishna has said in Bhagavad Gita, performance of ritualistic ceremonies is not actually religion. The real path of religion is to surrender at the lotus feet of the Lord. Dharma is religion. Religion is not a faith, it's the nature of the soul, the nature of the soul to worship God, which means surrender. There's no question of worship or bhakti without surrender. There's no love unless you are see the world according to the desires of your beloved and submit to that. That's surrender. And without that, you don't even enter the house of bhakti. So real religion is surrender to God. For one who's actually surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, there is no question of any separate endeavor for economic development. If we see, you know, ultimately God is supplying everything, we have to do our duty. Daiva netrena. This karma mamamsa philosophy I forgot, in the Govardhan Leela, Krishna was preaching to his father some, he was preaching all the philosophies just to stop Govardhan Hill, including many ones that were bogus, but it was so charming because there was this little six-year-old kid just speaking all the sadarshans. And Prabhupada talked in that about Daivanetrena. That it's not just your endeavor. He gives an example. Parents, you know, bring up a child, do everything, he turns out wrong. It's not just our endeavor. It's the mercy of God. And the intelligent person knows that. That should be his focus, and Krishna will take care. Not that we have to work morning and evening thinking we're getting more. No, we do our duty and live within our means that Krishna gives us and surrender to him. And we will be sheltered and we will be protected. That's one of the symptoms of faith or Sharanagati, is that God protects us, means that God will do its best, and that God will certainly maintain us. And somehow we see, somehow or other, he's maintaining us all. A devotee engaged in service to the Lord is not disappointed in the satisfaction of his senses. If he wants to satisfy his senses, Krishna fulfills that desire. As far as liberation is concerned, any devotee fully engaged in the service of the Lord is already liberated. Therefore, there's no separate necessity for liberation. We should focus. We can't neglect our duties, because that's also surrendered to God. God gives us ways in which we're to be purified, and he will maintain us through those ways. But we should be confident that faith, in Varnashram society, the Brahmins were expected to have full faith. They didn't take any job. They didn't do any business. They just taught whatever Krishna gave. They depended on Krishna completely. That's what a Brahmin... I explained this. One sadhu in Vrindavan told me this when I talked to him about Varnashram. How do you distinguish? And a Kshatriya, he needs some land, and a Vaishya needs to manipulate, and a Sudra needs a master. Different levels of faith. But a devotee is expected to have that faith, to completely depend on Krishna. Even throughout whatever his occupation in nature he must do, but have that faith that God is maintaining us, and I'm doing my duty. That's why the ashram of sannyas, I talked about this many times. Traditionally, it was meant to develop faith. That you would go out in the forest without any of your material protective agents, and water would come, protection was there. When a Brahmin or a sadhu sees a snake, they're not afraid. They go, sadhu deke, I've seen this. Sadhu deke, the snake is seen as sadhu. God is protecting it. So they're not worried for protection. They're not worried for their mate. And one, without the material agent, sees what he should be seeing all along. And it's not me that's maintaining my house. I'm doing my duty, and this is what God is giving me. And you see that it's actually, and that way you develop faith and love. Therefore, it's very healthy for a devotee to preach Krishna consciousness and depend on Krishna, go out and distribute books, and put oneself in a situation like that, and then see how, without your putting yourself in a situation without personal power, against all odds, that Krishna is helping us. Or just a grihastha who gives in charity because it's his duty, and sees that I will be maintained, not making overly financial considerations. Krishna will maintain. Narada Muni therefore advised Dhruva Maharaj to take shelter of Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, and engage himself in the way that his mother had advised, for that would help him fulfill his desire. In this verse, Narada Muni has especially stressed the devotional service of the Lord is the only way. In other words, even if one is full of material desires, he can continue his devotional service to the Lord, and all his desires will be fulfilled. I think it's interesting, because you'll engage in devotional service, and your desires will be reduced, and they'll be fulfilled. Text 82. Tattata gacha badram te jamunayastita suchi punyam maravanam netra saninadhyam nityadahare. Now he's going to tell them how. Where? My dear boy, I therefore wish all good fortune to you. You should go to the bank of the Jamuna, for there is a virtuous forest named Madhuvan, and there be purified. Just by going there, one draws nearer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always lives there. So, Madhuvanam. So Lord Hari, he awards love to the devotee, and he does so best in his home. So Madhuvanam, the home field advantage. He does best in Vrindavan. I'm looking out the window, and there's such a shama cloud, a monsoon cloud. That swarthy, grayish blue, kind of the color of Krishna. And Punyam, it's a holy place. And therefore it has the capacity to eradicate material contamination and bring one closer to God. So punyam madhavanam. So the place is important. Important. And we shouldn't underestimate the benefit of having a nice temple near us. That's managed properly with the proper community. Prabhupada established many temples because the place, it should be an oasis to help one move forward in his devotional service. So, and proper worship requires a temple in the home. Ideally, in your community, and the temple means association of devotees, and ideally, Vrindavan, which is the whole place is a spiritual abode. Purport, both Narada Muni and Suniti, the mother of Dhruva Maharaj, advised Dhruva Maharaj to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now Narada Muni is especially giving him directions how this worship of the Supreme Person can be very quickly fructify. He recommends that Dhruva Maharaj go to the bank of the Jamuna, where there is a forest of the name Madhuvan, and begin his meditation and worship there. Places of pilgrimage yield a special advantage for a devotee and quickly advancing in his spiritual life. We all realize that when we go to these holy places like Vrindavan, Mayapur, and Puri. Lord Krishna lives everywhere, but still it is very easy to approach him in holy places of pilgrimage because these places are inhabited by great sages. So it's not just that we go to the holy place. Puri Jan Prabhu, I don't know where he quoted the reference, maybe from reading it here, told me that we don't go to the holy place because we have the capacity to extract the nectar there, but we go because there are people that can. And that's the benefit of the holy place, the people that are there. Lord Sri Krishna says that he lives wherever his devotees are chanting the glories of his transcendental activities. There are many places of pilgrimage in India, and especially prominent are Badrinath Narayan, Dwarka, Rameshwar, and Jagannath Puri. So these are the classic Hindu places. These sacred places are called the Four Dhammas. Dham refers to a place where one can immediately contact the Lord. That's what advancement is. Advancement means opening our hearts in faith. Opening our hearts in faith to contact the Lord. Because ignorance is a blockage between us and feeling the Lord as he manifests in his name, his devotees, his books, his places, his deities. We should feel the bhakti shakti. We should feel the transcendental pleasure from the body of the Lord, but being covered by ignorance. So faith is that opening in the clouds. It's that opening in the clouds that allows us to contact the Lord. And the potency and shining of, of God is so powerful in the Holy Land. To go to Badri Narayan, one has to pass through Hardwar on the path to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, there are other holy places of pilgrimage, such as Prayag, Allahabad, and Mathura, and the topmost of them is Vrindavan. Unless one is very advanced in spiritual life, it is recommended he live in a holy place and execute devotional service. Prabhupada always puts it the other way around. Like generally, we think that after chanting and after preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching, we realize our sarup. Prabhupada said, by the spiritual impetus of realizing our identity, then we preach. And some of you think, when we're very advanced, we'll go to Vrindavan. He said, no. If you're very advanced, you can stay here in the world. Otherwise, you should go to Vrindavan. But an advanced devotee like Narada Muni, who is engaged in preaching work, can serve the Supreme Lord anywhere. Sometimes he even goes to the hellish planets. Hellish conditions do not affect Narada Muni because he's engaged in greatly responsible activities in devotional service. Narayana Prasarve, Nukuchas Chanya Vibhyati, Swaga Pavaga, Narakeshu, Apituliyakta Darshana. I love that from the prayers of Vritrasura. One who loves God, it doesn't matter where he is. According to the statement of Narada Muni, Madhavan, which is still existing in the Vrindavan area in the district of Mathura, is a most sacred place. Many saintly persons still live there and engage in the devotional service of the Lord. There are 12 forests in the area of Vrindavan, and Madhavan is one of them. Pilgrims from all parts of India assemble together and visit all the 12 of these forests. Malabas, they, Gaudias, they have these padyatras, these walking to all the places. There are 5 forests on the eastern bank of the Jamuna: Bhadravan, Dilvavan, Lohavan, Mandiravan, and Mahavan. On the western side of the bank, there are 7: Madhuvan, Talavan, Kamudavan, Bahulavan, Kamyavan, Kandiravan, and Vrindavan. In these 12 forests, there are different ghats or bathing places. They are listed as follows: 1. Avimukta. 2. Adirudha. 3. Guya Tirtha. 4. Prayag Tirtha. 5. Kanakala. 6. Paduka Tirtha. 7. Surya Tirtha. And Vatashrami. 8. 9. Dhruvagat. Dhruvagat, where there are many nice trees of fruits and flowers, is famous because Dhruva Maharaj meditated and underwent severe penance and austerities there in an elevated spot. 10. Rishi Tirtha. 11. Moksha Tirtha. 2. Buddha Tirtha. 13. Gokarna. 14. Krishna Ganga. 15. Vaikuntha. 16. Asakunda. 17. Chati Samudra Ka Kupa. 18. Akuratu Tirtha, where Krishna and Balaram were going to Mathura in the chariot driven by Akura. All of them took bath in this god. 19. Yagika Viprastana. 20. Kubjakupa. 21. Rangastala. 22. Manchastala. 23. Malayuta Stana. And 24. Dashvamedha. Okay. Are there any questions?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
How'd it go, Gail?
Yeah, I know you answered this to me once before, but I forgot your answer. Can you just distinguish between Sharanagati, you know, and those six steps of surrender and actual devotional service?
Say that again?
The distinction between surrender, specifically those six steps, the six aspects
right.
of surrender and devotional service.
Well, it's entering devotional service. It begins with taking shelter of Krishna. It's one of the items of devotional service itself, but it's the foundational item. Because unless you have that Krishna, from this day I am yours, that conception, then you can't enter into the practices of bhakti. That's the entrance into the practice. It's also a practice of bhakti, but it's the entrance into bhakti. And then with that, then there's so many things that come. Chanting and hearing and all the nine processes of devotional service. I can't say it's not bhakti, but it's the preliminary requirement for bhakti.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually, there was one other thing, Maharaj.
Okay.
Well, in a previous class, and you were describing the qualities of a Vaishya, and you said that one of their qualities is that they have this need to teach.
But okay, yeah. Well, you know, cheating means that... Well, look at what business means. You're advertising a product, you know, and you're trying to get more money for it, and it's kind of allowed. The Vaishya will charge as much money as they can get. You know, and they'll try to make things look as attractive as possible. Not necessarily what they are. They'll try to make them look as better than they are. And, you know, and it's always that for you. How many times have you gone into, you have it, you go into the bazaar in Vrindavan and all these Vaishnava shopkeepers, they tell you, for you I make no profit. They're allowed to do that, but that's not right. That's not exactly what it is. So there's an element there where, you know, a Kshatriya couldn't do business, shouldn't do business. Because there'll be a lack of trust. I remember when I took sannyas, I taught from Satsrup Maharaj, he told me that we need people in this movement whom others can't put their full faith in. More or less for minical. He said, therefore, avoid politics and business. So you see, when you manage, there's a certain degree of expediency, and when you do business, there's a certain amount of the profit motive, and it doesn't invoke the same level of trust. I think a pure Brahmin would not be a good businessman.
What I really meant was, is it something in the nature of a Vaishya, or is it really just a need for the sake of...
Well, you know, when you're in India, you know, we're Vana Sankara. That means, at least I am, we're mixed. So we don't see the pure thing. But when you're in India, a lot of times you just see, here's a pure businessman. And it's their nature. It comes with the modes that they have. Of course, someone can be a Vaishnava and be transcendental to a certain degree, but it's their nature. Okay, thank you, Gil.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, bro.
Hi, brother Chaitanya Priya, thank you. Anybody else?
I have a question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
I vote. Thank you. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Balavade.
Okay. Put your right hand. I'm going to write you a message today with a date that I'll be free. We'll see if we can coordinate it. Okay?
Well, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, what's your question?
Following that conversation about following one nature in terms of the work that they do, I have noticed for some time, and I'm going through the same concern, in that for many, many years I have done a practice, but at the same time, I am infusing in that practice, in my dealings with people, a type of preaching, bringing into view what is the purpose of life. Now, this is medicine, so it brings the opportunity to get people to understand why they are suffering. But at the same time, the business part of it is something that I have had to train in separately. I wasn't taught that in medical school. So I noticed that there are parts of it, and I am now in at another level of this. There are parts of this apparent conflict where the business and the Brahminical nature are in conflict. I would like to write and talk more about this, because I'm at a junction right now of making a decision.
Okay, I can't speak so long on it at the end of class, but basically speaking, traditionally, when one did a Brahminical occupation, the system would be complete dependence on Krishna. You'd give, and whatever people would contribute, one would do. But in the modern world, where that culture is not there, then as part of one's service, one has to learn, you know, how to charge and do things. And it's not going to be contradictory to one's devotional service, because we need to live. So we do it to live, as long as our objective in living is devotional and to purify our hearts, then, you know, we can enjoy to live. We can, you know, do things to live for the purpose of devotional service. So, you know, I remember one time Tamal Krishnamurti, someone asked him, you know, what's the most important thing in opening up a Hare Krishna restaurant? And he looked at him and he said, it's a business. Because unless you can maintain, then you can't perform devotional service. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, venture culture is a concern.